You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Providing you with the latest equipment to pack your hockey bag full of super sweaty knowledge. This is Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, welcome Hockey Central at Noon. A chance to talk about Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Pittsburgh Penguins take a 2-0 lead in their best of seven final. Bill Daly, Deputy Commissioner, will be joining us. Gord Stellick in as Darren Millard and Jeff Merrick both at the Hockey Combine in Buffalo, New York. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, all the prospects down there. Scott Morrison.
Where was Leah?
Doug McLean.
Was Leah busy too?
She could be down there too. You never know where people are. I just want to know where you are.
Are you doing a roll call?
Whenever I'm on the show, I go, please tell me Doug McLean's on the show or Ron McLean, one of them.
Anyway, introduced Scott, I forgot.
I just did. Well, you forgot Scott's name? Scott Morrison and Doug McLean. All set. We know where you're going to be going. You're all set for the airport, the whole thing. You're pumped, ready to go.
On assignment for 6 days.
I know.
What are you going to do? In South Florida.
What are you going to do down there? Analytics?
It's a great opportunity to really study the game when you can watch it by yourself and, you know, nobody around chirping in your ears. It's just a relaxing situation to be able to really watch and study the game.
Problems? Everything okay?
That's great.
Okay, good stuff.
I listened to you for 4 hours the other day. So I'm when I saw you were doing the show today, I thought, oh no, because I just listened to you in my car the other day for four hours. You were great, by the way.
Okay, thanks. Well, I hope if you hung in there, something compelling about it. Scott, I don't think we've talked 4 hours over the last 4 months. But anyway, we'll certainly go way back on a lot of things. And let's get right at it about last night's game. Bill Daly will join us, like you said, at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to the deputy commissioner about expansion, other things like that, the Olympics, a number of things. But, Pittsburgh Penguins, San Jose Sharks, and 2-0 overtime win, Scott. It seems like the better team, consensus-wise, is ahead in this series.
Well, no question about it. Both games, Pittsburgh has predominantly been the better team. I suppose if you're San Jose, there's a measure. There's no moral victories at this time of year, but maybe there's a measure of a confidence boost in that you've been close, but yet have yet to play your best game, maybe only a period both nights. So maybe that's something you take home and say you can build on that, but it's been pretty impressive from Pittsburgh's standpoint. We're talking off air coming in. Until those last 3 minutes, it was lopsided.
Yeah, I was shocked, and I've been shocked, to be quite honest. I mean, I know Pittsburgh's at the top of their game and have been playing well, led by 87, and how good has he been? I mean, coming off three-game winners in the previous series and leading the way again with his play is just amazing. But to me, it wasn't even close. And until 3 minutes, they weren't in the game. They look slow. They look disorganized. They look off guard. They aren't getting anything going from, you know, neutral zone coming through there with speed on entries. They're not getting the puck to the net. So you give Pittsburgh credit for their speed. You give Pittsburgh credit for the way they're defending, the layering to get the puck through. And people saying, like I heard Don Cherry talking about, they're leaving their points open. Well, they're leaving their points open, but that was the one shot that even got through that I saw, even with the points relatively open because of the layering and the job they're doing defensively. So I was shocked. But the thing that really has jumped out at me is everybody says how bad their defense is, okay? And you say, well, they got
Cole. Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Okay. And you got Lovejoy, and you got Cole, and you've got a young, you know,
Schultz,
Dumoulin,
Cole. Yeah. You know, and you got Letang, the superstar.
And no Daly.
Yeah. So you say, starting with the Rangers to Washington to Tampa, the game plan was we're going after their defense. We're going to forecheck that blue line. We're going to cause havoc because that blue line can't get the puck on. Well, guess what? Nobody's come close to being able to forecheck that blue line in any series. And I watched it really close last night. Direct passing out, rim around and out, throw it into empty spaces and get into foot races in the neutral zone. They're just getting it out any which way they can. And they've got San Jose totally off guard that they can't forecheck them. And that's a defense that everybody says is suspect. Well, right now, they've been one of the better defense in the NHL in the playoffs. And that's hard to believe. what they've been able to accomplish. And a team as good a forechecking as Washington was, as good a forechecking team as Tampa, and now one of the great forechecking teams in the playoffs, San Jose, can't create a forecheck against them. It's hard to believe.
Well, how about, as from a coaching point of view, I mean, this team was out of the playoffs. This team had to make a coaching change. Yeah. And yet on the other side, you're saying now, yeah, wait a sec. These are the guys that were supposed to win multiple Stanley Cups. They basically have the core, the elite players that kind of went dormant in the playoffs for 5 years. So how can you have that kind of swing, can't make the playoffs, to now they're just saying, wow, the San Jose Sharks haven't seen anything quite like this?
I think it's all about the speed and how they play.
But they had it before. They had
the
speed.
But they didn't use the speed. And I think that was the biggest difference, is Sullivan's philosophy coming in, to Doug's point, was getting the defense, moving that puck quickly, throwing the long bombs, using their speed to put... They're relentless at both ends of the rink, not just on their forecheck, Pittsburgh. They're relentless at both ends of the rink and through the middle. And I think he got that team playing a faster game. And, you know, they brought up some of those kids that infused a lot of life into that lineup as well. And you look at the big goals they've scored, and, you know... Sheary playing on the first line with Crosby, and Rust, the goals that he scored, playing with Malkin. You'd never envision those pairings. And you've got all that superstar talent that isn't playing together, doesn't have to play together. And I think some of those additions made a huge difference.
So he comes in, and, you know, I'm a Mike Johnson fan. I think he's a good coach. But for whatever reason, it coincided with bringing up the kids from the minors. Hagelin becomes a star.
Daly comes over.
Bonino goes with that line, and they become a 50 points that line is scored in the playoffs, boys. 50 points. Who would ever believe that? Daly comes in, takes big-time pressure off Letang. Letang becomes a superstar. You know, Murray comes in out of nowhere and has been real good. They've got so much confidence. And how many, like, the analytics people love to have this stat of, I don't know what they call it, dump outs or chip outs out of the zone. How many times last night did they throw that puck out into a soft area and end up in a foot race? We saw Hagelin ring one off the crossbar in one of those foot races. I mean, they are fast and playing fast. And they've in two games, for me, they've made San Jose look slow. Suspect it'll be different, but right now they're making them look slow.
And that one chip out led to an icing that led to Justin Braun's goal. So, you know, tying it up. So to go back to the San Jose-St. Louis series, they almost had a chance to be like St. Louis was when they won that one game. It wasn't enough to beat the Sharks, but even as said, you should have lost the first three, but you won one. So they had a chance for the split. Mm-hmm. Now that they don't get it.
That's with 11 shots after two periods.
Yeah. And keep in mind, a lot of posts too. Few of those in that, but really, you're right. Yeah. I mean, they've dominated shots on goal, and it's challenge-wise. I know it's home ice now. What is it, 81% of the teams? Is it 81%, Matt, that if you win the first two games, you wrap up the series, maybe 89. Anyway.
89%. So just under 89%.
So a daunting task.
You
like
win the
one
first
in 10,
two.
1 in 10.
Yeah, very much so. And, I mean, the challenge for San Jose is, they're not getting shots. They got some more in the third period, but as Doug said, 11 through two periods. So they're not generating a lot 5-on-5. And because they don't have the puck very often, they're not forcing Pittsburgh into taking penalties to allow their exceptional power play to be a difference maker. So there's a lot of things that aren't clicking for that
team
right now.
Three goals in two games as well. The top two scoring teams right in the playoffs are playing. Not the top two defensive teams. I know the Penguins have only scored one more goal each game, but... Three goals in two games is not going to win you a lot of playoff games.
I got a bit of a problem here. I just got a text.
From?
What's that little red face mean when you get one of those little squigglies with a red face on it? Is that temper or anger?
Yeah, someone's mad.
Oh. I guess Jill was listening about me going to Florida.
Yes. As soon as she caught the chirp. The chirp. Heard that one.
The chirp. Sorry.
It's just it was a friendly conversation about following the hockey there.
I meant the people. There's nobody around the pool. All the people have gone north. I didn't.
Quit while you're behind. But having said all that about San Jose, is that they've both nights have found a way to battle back from deficits, and
like Doug is now.
Better than Doug's now. He's got a deeper hole than they have.
He's down 3-0. It could be a sweep here.
No kidding. And we're, you know, a shot away. So, as I say, having not played anywhere close to their best hockey, to have been that close, maybe that's something that gives them a little bit of inspiration going home.
Yeah, San Jose, look, the way they come at you in that building, they're going to come after them. This will be the consummate test. But we also said this about Pittsburgh when they'd go back to Washington, when they'd go into Tampa, and they've been able to withstand it. I picked San Jose to win. I picked Washington to beat them. I think I picked Pitt to beat Tampa. But I picked San Jose to win this series. And well, it's straight now in two games for me. I know the score has been close. It hasn't been close.
The games themselves haven't been close. But the old cliche, never in trouble till you lose at home.
Yeah.
It was 17 out of 21, I think, on NHL.com, picked the San Jose Sharks. San Jose Sharks, though, have played well in the playoffs at home, but not a good year at home. I mean, is that water under the bridge now? Because
yeah,
it was so long ago.
They won 7 out of the last 8 at home in the playoffs, so that's done.
That was the first 15 games of the season where they're horrendous, and they really started to turn it around. They're a good team. Peter DeBoer last night, I thought, made a great coaching move when he put Ward up with Couture and moved Marleau down, and it really gave that line some energy, some net front presence.
And it got them the goal.
Got them the goal. And I thought, you know, and then you saw even late in the game, Ward drilling at the net there for the winner. So, you know, a good move by Peter DeBoer. And, so I hope he's had to juggle his lines. He's made very few lineup changes all playoff long because he hasn't had to because they've been so good. So it'll be interesting to see if Ward stays there and Marleau slides to the third line.
Game number one, Ward made the good play, keeping the puck in the blue line in the offensive zone. It was almost like an Eric Carlson type play. And he didn't get an assist on it, but that was key as well. So it's
And then last night he won a battle behind the net, got the puck to Couture, who got it back to the point for the goal. Yeah. So
and
good work below the line.
Interesting, like, I'm sorry, and I've been on this bandwagon since the weekend, but Kippy and I debated it the other day. He has got Kessel. These people that have Kessel winning the Conn Smythe is shocking me. I'm sorry. He's been good. The line's been real good. But he's been not even close to Sid Crosby for me. I don't care if Sid has a third of the points. It's not even close. For the contribution Sid's making to that hockey team. Three game winners last series. And the way he's played in the first two games, I'm sorry, but he has been so good. He looks like Sid from 5 years ago.
Well, the presence. That's
face-offs, battles.
Well, you're forgetting he's a big guy again. Like all these things you're watching. Wait a sec.
And what's
that's the guy I watch dominate all the time.
And what's the other thing he's done? Turn the other cheek. He's been abused. Thornton's whacked him a couple times.
Totally.
And he just skated away.
And you know what?
Discipline.
I remember talking to Jimmy Rutherford about this, about Sid. And, you know, where is this going to go with Sid? Because it was at the referees all the time. You remember that Philly series where he was chirping the whole time?
They brought him down to their level.
He was throwing off his game so bad. And I'll tell you what, Sid, the maturity Sid Crosby has shown throughout these playoffs from the opening round all the way through the playoffs has been terrific to watch. And you said it, Scott. He drilled him last night, Thornton, with a cross check. And didn't even phase him. And the way this guy is playing, and then he sets up that play. I mean, he wins the face-up clear, but he went to Letang, do not one-time the puck. Sheary, you slide into the soft area and make the pass. I mean, Sid laughed about it. He said, I've set up 25 face-up plays a game, and I'm wrong on 24 of them. Well, I don't care. He was right on that one. And you saw him set it up, and then to win the face-off as clean as he won it in overtime, I mean, he's been so good.
Was he 70% on the draws?
Yeah.
71.
71, thank you very much.
He's 14-6 at one point there in the
But according to San Jose, he's cheating on this face-off.
Yeah. Right? So we'll keep cheating, Sid.
A little games.
It is the playoffs. Cheat like crazy.
Yeah, we've learned that. We'll play a little bit later on Logan Couture saying that. Now, okay, is he being a crybaby?
No.
Or is he trying to let this gamesmanship about the linesman?
He's looking for an edge.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we always say they won't react, but you wonder if maybe they will react. And
they may just even look a little closer on some of those draws.
And, of course, the Shark fans, and a lot of them that probably don't even know the rules, will think Sid is cheating. Anyway, here is post-game Logan Couture.
He cheats, and he gets away with it. He's Sidney Crosby. He times him, and yeah, they don't kick him out for some reason, probably because of who he is.
So Michael Jordan rules now applying in the National Hockey League for Sidney Crosby, according to
this
local
isn't
Couture.
New.
What's it mean?
Superstars.
How's he
edge.
Timing it, Doug? How's
I
he timing?
I think it's.
And what's illegal about timing it?
I don't know what he's doing, to be quite honest. But I'll tell you what, he did a heck of a job, Couture. That's a smart move by Couture. For me, he's not whining. That's setting up the next game. And there's nothing wrong
just
with
getting
that.
Getting the officials' attention.
Yeah, it's fine. It's the playoffs. You do whatever you... And if he didn't do it, DeBoer should have done it, you know? And bring it to their attention and just watch them a little closer.
And what the accusation is that, in that instance, the defensive player has to put his stick down first, and then the offensive player is supposed to put his down, and they're saying, by timing it, as he's putting it down, he's timing it with the puck drop. He's not getting set, and therefore gets the little extra boost of having the momentum of swinging the stick through. Who knows?
Yeah, Grapes and Ron showed that yesterday in Coach's Corner where they, you know, he's out there. He was working on
practicing,
it.
Practicing, yeah.
You know, he's the only guy on the ice working on it with Fear, I believe, and the coach. So, hey, cheat. Till they stop, tell you to not cheat.
Figure out how to stop him.
That's Eric Fear, not Don Fear, correct?
Don Fear was there, I think, but he wasn't on the ice.
Eric Fair working it out with that. Now, as coaching a team, you went to the Stanley Cup Final, Florida Panthers. So things start going right, okay? And it's going great. I have no idea what you juggled and whatever, whether you had the Connor Sheary types, whether you had Brian Rust types. Then you get in the final. And the final, I think you lost four straight. It was a great run. But at what point as a coach do you start thinking, I got to make some changes just to get things going? I mean, what might we think Peter DeBoer is thinking in that case, especially if they start getting down in game number three about trying some things?
He's got to really, really watch his matchups with the Pollock-Dillon combination. He's got to be careful when they're on the ice and who they're against. And that is really, really challenging because you've got three lines to worry about. That's the problem. But if that's the case, you got to keep them away from at least Bonino and Sid. And you take your chance with Malkin because he's got one goal in 14 games. So you take, if I'm going to play them, I'm going to take my chance against them, okay? He's got to get Vlasic and Braun and his other pair playing better. I didn't notice Brent Burns last night. I'm sorry. I noticed him doing the pirouettes on Don Cherry's little thing. But I didn't notice him other than that. And he was good in the first game. He come on and played real well. Had two assists. I didn't notice him enough last night. He's got to be a lot better. So his defense has got to be better. They can't right now contain the offense of the Pittsburgh Penguins when they get in the offensive zone. They can't defend them in the neutral zone with their speed. They've got to be a lot better. They've got to be a lot better. And they haven't been good for two games, guys.
For the majority of two games.
Yeah.
They've had stretches.
A good period, second period.
Yeah.
A good second period.
And
a good
third
three
period
minutes.
Last night. Or
good 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought one I thought one real interesting point in overtime as well, and it's indicative of all the overtimes, it seems now. When Sullivan called his timeout early because of the icing, it's like nowadays – you're saying, you know what? It's going to be over in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
These old chess matches are so few and far between.
They're gone.
Everyone's going full guns. So he's kind of going, look, we intend to go full guns. If we're not, they're going full guns. And sure enough, that ended up being the case once again.
It's a luxury. And I had the same thing in Florida where everybody played. My first two lines were the power play. My third and fourth lines were my penalty killers. They all got a fair amount of ice time as well as a 6D. Pittsburgh are playing everybody. He's rolling four lines. He's playing his 6D. You know, I know there's discrepancies between Letang and the others, but he's playing everybody. And it makes matchups really tough for Peter DeBoer. Really tough to match up. When a team rolls their four lines and is comfortable with everybody, it's a tough matchup.
So what line do you want Thornton's line out against if you're Peter?
Well, I think you've got to... For me, I play them head-to-head with Sid. I think that's what they want. That's what they should want. Pavelski is an MVP of the league or is right there as far as I'm concerned, one of the most Conn Smythe winner if San Jose come back and win this. And I would challenge them because that line, again, I didn't think they were very good last night. I didn't like that line.
Pavelski and he ramped up their ice time.
I know.
Had them up over 20 minutes.
And they started to come alive in the third, but I would go head-to-head with them against the best. I mean, right now, you challenge Pavelski and Thornton, say, Sid's dominating. I mean, that Sid's line is dominating this play 5-on-5. Go head-to-head with them and be better than them. Give us a chance.
And so far, goalies have played well enough, but nobody's stolen a game. Of course, that always becomes...
But Martin Jones kept them in two games.
Yeah.
But he was exceptional, I thought, especially last night.
Well, yeah. What we're going to have coming up, we're going to talk again. The Combine, or Darren Millard and Jeff Merrick and others are down in Buffalo, New York, all the top players.
They're not
players.
Participating in it.
I think Merrick could. I don't. Millard maybe could too.
How many pull-ups for them?
Well, as many as which Sam was it last? Anyway, Sam Bennett. Yeah, it's as much the interviews with the teams and that, as well as the fitness testing that's going on. Of course, getting set for the NHL entry draft. Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner of the National Hockey League, he'll be joining us, and all kinds of topics going on that we'll chat with him.
He'll probably break the expansion news when he comes on with us.
I think that's probably
we'll
why he wants to come on.
Quebec City's finally getting in because he would know. He would definitely
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Well, he said June 22nd Board of Governors meeting, but I got a feeling he wants to let the cat out of the bag now. So he'll be joining us when we come back. It's Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean. You're listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, watching on Sportsnet or the NHL Network.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Jeff Merrick there at the Hockey Combine in Buffalo. All the top prospects there. We'll chat about that in a few minutes' time. Scott Morrison and Doug McLean joining us. Bill Daly, Deputy Commissioner, joining us momentarily. And we'll talk about a number of things that were discussed. Gary Bettman's State of the Union address a couple of days ago. I know we've chatted about that. And see what else is on the Deputy Commissioner's mind. What did you want? You want to talk about the Carolina situation or just leave that or what? Just I mean, that's just an interesting one. You talk about one.
Oh, I'm not leaving it.
Okay. Yeah. about franchises. It happened with the Los Angeles Dodgers that a family, and same with the Mets, a family situation about money impacted the franchise. Well, and that's obviously one out in Carolina.
You know, whether there's a legal battle going on in the family, obviously none of my business. I could care less about that. That's up to them to sort out. You feel bad about it when it's a family thing. The question I would have is, what impact does it have on the Carolina Hurricanes, who were the worst attendance in the NHL last year, if I'm not mistaken, around 12,000 people. And I also would like to ask if I'll wait till he gets on, but I also heard yesterday that he's also borrowed money from the NHL Emergency Fund. So I don't know if that's accurate, but, you know, there's some serious questions there. And then when you've got a team like Quebec with a brand new building and it would appear they're not on the expansion list, is there any chance of a relocation? Now, they're going to obviously say Carolina's fine, but it wouldn't appear that it's fine. So obviously they've lost a ton of money.
But he's had them up for sale for a little while.
Well, he's had 49% up for sale.
Right.
And who in their right mind would pay to go in at 49%? I mean, if you're going to go in, you go maybe do 10%. They got the guy in Florida that's 5% Sifu, but you think he was 95% the way he talks. So, you know, maybe that's the way to go, but put 5% in and do all the talking. You know?
Well, it seems there's always this kind of the old thing, put the finger in the dike and try to plug all the holes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they get to a good spot. And Florida cut a very favorable arena deal a month ago. Carolina wasn't it the same kind of situation, so it was viewed that two worrisome franchises weren't. So, but obviously this would change. This could have some impact in Carolina.
It seemed Florida, it was out there that they were losing, you know, in the 30-plus million a year range. So I know an arena deal was very important, but it's not $35 million a year's worth. I know that. So, you know, they've got wealthy owners there now, which I guess is a plus, and they've got a new arena deal, but they're still losing a ton of money in Florida. There's no way they're not. And Carolina is too. And there's numerous franchises that are losing money, but Gary Bettman and Bill have done a wonderful job of finding rich owners, guys that are committed, and they've done a heck of a job of that and deserve a ton of credit for that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Adrian Dater, among those yesterday, reporting that June 22nd is the date we're supposed to find out something definitively about expansion, but Las Vegas is going to be a go. Close to the
NHL. Expected to be a go.
Expected to be a go for the 2017-2018 season. I need Board of Governors approval.
But there's still a process before it gets to the Board of Governors, and that the executive committee has to meet with Bill Daley and let him know what they're thinking with respect to whether or not, what direction. And Gary mentioned it the other day, the three options: they don't have any expansion, they go to Vegas, or possibly they go to Vegas and Quebec City. But one of the three.
But it does seem, unlike other expansions, it's less, well, maybe it's kind of like back in the old Bruce McNall brief, the brief Bruce McNall-Gil Stein era about the push to get Anaheim in when nobody else was really thinking Anaheim. He felt the Disney connection was important. Las Vegas seems like that, has that kind of fabric. That this is a place the NHL seem to want to go. It's not like they're sitting back receiving bids. They seem to want to be proactive.
I think Adrian Dater is right that it is a go and they're going to go there. Some people were telling me in the last few days that there's been a major push by the Oakland Raiders to move to Vegas, and that may be, you know, may push it a little quicker to get the NHL in there. I mean, the building's ready. The guy seems to be prepared. He's got Murray Craven with him as a hockey advisor at this particular time. I don't know how they can't go Vegas. At $500 million, how can they not go Vegas and move it along? And as far as Quebec City, at another $500 million to get you to 32 teams? But
how do you do it if you're Quebec City, $500 million, if it's U.S. dollars?
I don't know how they can do it. I don't know how they can make it as a viable business operation. I know everybody looks to Winnipeg and how they seem to be viable. I'm not sure how long that's going to last. And also the difference of what they paid for Atlanta versus what they're going to pay. I don't know how you can make it work financially in that market. But
Winnipeg,
I would
also
like to see Quebec get in.
Winnipeg also sold out day one season tickets for 5 years. Yeah. 5-year commitment.
But if I'm not mistaken, there was some tough time selling tickets down the stretch in Winnipeg.
Well, as he mentioned, expansion, one of the big topics, and again, Gord Stelick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, pleased to be joined by Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley. How are you today, Bill?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. You know, daily expansion updates, and according to some sources now, that you probably a good time to announce your expansion and not wait till June 22nd. What do you think of that idea?
Right here on Hockey Central at noon, huh?
Correct, yeah.
That's, you know, how we like to break platform stories.
I might think about that. I'll get back to you on that before we're done.
Okay, we're off at one.
I'll take that as a no.
So, Bill, you know, the Vegas thing looks like it's a go, and I obviously we know you can't announce it, but it looks like it has all the makings of a great situation with a beautiful building, a wealthy owner. The potential of a Oakland Raiders moving in there, does that have any bearing for you guys at all? Or is that move it up, or are you just doing your own timeline?
You know, I'd say a couple things about that, Doug. One, take somewhat with a grain of salt what I read in the paper with respect to what might be possible, particularly in other sports leagues where I'm, you know, not as plugged in as I might be in ours or as I should be in ours. Right. I don't think other sport competition is really a factor that has gone into certainly our process to this point. My guess is it will come up when we discuss Las Vegas at the executive committee meeting, just as part of one of many factors we would talk about. I don't think that would be a gating factor if the committee were inclined to recommend expansion to Las Vegas for a number of reasons, including taking into account the likelihood that it actually happens. But even if it does, I think in terms of the NFL, incredible sport, obviously incredibly popular in the United States, But of all the kind of major professional leagues, it's probably the least competitive from a from kind of a financial standpoint to the NHL, just in terms of what they sell, how they sell it, how much they have to sell, and the like. So I don't consider it a major factor, no.
Now, I understand, Bill, that maybe the next step in the process is that you have to hear back from the executive committee. When does that happen, and how does that part of the process impact and unfold?
Well, obviously, we've been communicating with the executive committee really since our meeting in December on expansion issues. Certainly, there's been a period of time here where we've had to deal with, you know, basically at the executive committee's direction, we've had to deal with and explore a number of issues that were kind of unrelated necessarily to the expansion applicant himself or themselves and the league. There are third parties that are implicated really by both expansion applications, and we've been going through a process where we needed to touch base and understand the landscape, and really we'll be reporting back to the executive committee. And we'll see where they are with respect to making a recommendation. As Gary pointed out at his press conference on Monday, you know, one possibility is we're just not in a position to have any recommendation on expansion in time for the 17-18 season if the process continues.
So what comes out of that committee? Is that typically a rubber stamp when it gets to the full board?
I would never say anything that goes to the full board is rubber stamp.
But it is.
Certainly the reason you have an executive committee and you have an executive committee recommendation is to kind of add support that, you know, that the proposal has been vetted by some group of owners, really selected by other owners. And so their recommendation certainly carries a lot of weight. But at the end of the day, on all matters, you know, each club has its own vote. We have a voting structure under our constitution, and you kind of place your vote as you deem fit for your organization.
Obviously, Quebec City won't go away, and you know it comes out again in the last couple of days. I mean, right now it would appear Vegas as the only one, Bill, or is there any chance there could be two teams?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, and you know, I'm certainly not going to disagree with my boss. I absolutely, there's a chance. There's two teams. You know, and I would say this. I mean, some of the, you know, the features we look for in expansion markets are, you know, the demographics of the market, obviously, the quality of ownership, and the arena facility and lease arrangements. And, you know, Quebec checks off all of those boxes from our perspective. I mean, they have a very impressive expansion application, and certainly that's where our executive committee is with respect to it. They're very impressed by the Quebec's expansion application, but there are other factors that go in as well. And you know, we've talked about those publicly. Geographic balance is one. You know, the strength of the Canadian dollar and the Canadian economy certainly is a factor at the end of the day. You know, what the board's overall appetite for expansion period is. You know, one of the things, you know, that I've said along the way in this process is one of the things that I've been impressed with is quite different than the first process I was involved in the late 90s. You know, we have a lot of owners who are kind of looking at the expansion process from a very long-term lens, with a very long-term lens, and saying, you know, is this good for the overall value of my investment over the long term, as opposed to, you know, a quick hit from expansion franchise proceeds? Is this in the long-term benefit for the league and for the value of my franchise long-term, which is a market difference from the last time we went through this process.
So how do you, like, I have a hard time figuring that one out when you've got probably 10 teams that could desperately use the 30 to 60 million or whatever the windfall is going to be. And you're saying those bottom 10 revenue generating teams are saying, is this good for the long term of our franchise? Is that really the way it is? Or is that the top team saying that?
No,
and you're getting $500 million for a team. How's that not good for everybody?
But by the way, I'm not saying that's every team's view. I'm saying that it's a remarkably widespread view of the league in terms of how they view expansion generally. I'm certainly not saying it's every team's view.
But Bill, it was $80 million in 2000, and now it's $500 million. I mean, isn't that just unbelievable? I mean, isn't that just tell you right there about the value of what's going on with the league and the value of the franchises? I think it blows me away.
I certainly think that's good news, and I think our clubs view it as good news. You know, I get again with their individual team hats on, they're saying, this is a growing asset I have, both from the league perspective and the club perspective. And as I look at this continuing to grow, is it more in my it is expansion and is expansion into these available markets going to grow the footprint in a way that will add value to the asset, because it's certainly going to diminish to some extent my take of that value, because instead of 30 people mouths at the table, you have 31 or 32 mouths at the table. So you have to do that equation long term.
Bill Daly, Deputy Commissioner, National Hockey League, joining Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Hockey Central at noon. Before you came on, we were chatting, again, perception being reality or not reality, but what can you say about the Carolina situation? Not about the personal lawsuits, whatever, but a lot of money out there that apparently, allegedly, is some struggles about that financially. And what can you comment? When do you get worried?
I get worried when I know enough to be worried. What I'd say is, obviously, we know a lot more about what's going on in Carolina than the average person and what's public. You're right. I don't think, I view kind of the public litigation to be more along the lines of a family squabble than anything that would raise material concern for the league in and of itself. You have to understand kind of the entire situation, and obviously you were on the whole comfortable with the entire situation of what's going on in Carolina.
By that same token, they're last in the league in attendance at, I believe, 12,000 per
game. Somebody has to be.
Pardon?
Somebody has to be.
Yeah, I know. I've lived that. Actually, we weren't ever there, but that's okay. And is there truth that they've also borrowed money from the National Hockey League Emergency Fund to keep this afloat? And if that's the case, there would seem to be some reason to worry.
Well, I don't know what you mean by the NHL Emergency Fund. If you're talking about the NHL Emergency Assistance Fund, no.
Oh, sorry, absolutely I missed
not.
A word.
They have not borrowed any money from that fund.
Oh, they haven't.
Would they be qualified to borrow money from that fund?
Okay. So that's a bad rumor.
In terms of their individual team finances and how it relates to kind of league distributions, I'm not in a position to get into.
Just to be clear, the Emergency Assistance Fund, as I understand, is for individual players, a case-by-case thing, right, that have some kind of financial duress? Or is it something the owners can draw from, or is it something the players can't that – have fallen in hard times?
I'm talking about the league's credit line that they have that teams sometimes can apply if they're, get it before their revenue sharing money may come in. Is that accurate, Bill, or am I off base on that?
No, I think you're mixing concepts to a certain extent. We certainly have a league line of credit, right, that we actually encourage our clubs to access because of the group basis of the loan on which it was based. It creates favorable terms for the clubs to access. Sure. So, they are a participant in the league's line of credit, as are 14 or 15 other clubs. So that certainly doesn't distinguish them.
I know nothing official's been decided with respect to the Olympics, I suppose, but is it fair to say that this is an extreme long shot that the NHL will be there?
I get asked to characterize the likelihood of us going in the Olympics all the time, and sometimes the characterization doesn't end up being accurate, so I'd rather not get into that game. Obviously, as of right now, there seems to be a gap between what we have received in the past in terms of expense reimbursement from the IOC through the IIHF, and what at least the IOC is saying it's willing to pay for now. And obviously, you know, as Gary alluded to at the press conference on Monday, I don't think it's likely in what's a very difficult decision as it is to shut down your sport and your business for multiple weeks at the most popular time of year to go play in a tournament that you have no direct financial stake in. As difficult as that decision is, to do that and pay for that privilege is an entirely different concept, and certainly one our owners, I don't believe, would be supportive of.
Now, I know you're heavily involved in the rules side of things and player discipline in the league, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on this unbelievably aggravating offside video review. And are you please going to tell me that you're going to try to do something about this ludicrous situation that they can't even tell when they look at the video whether it's offside, and they expect the linesman to call it? Like, seriously, Bill.
Well, we pay the linesman a lot of money to call, make those calls. But I don't think,
but not off their iPads.
I don't think the rule is all that difficult to interpret or to understand. And it's the rule, as you know, Doug, that's been in existence for decades, if not the full century the league's been around. So,
Bill,
it's not a new rule. The only thing that's different this year is that we now are using video replay to test whether a team is in compliance with the rule or not.
Bill, I know.
The suggestion that once you take that step, and you know, I won't argue one way or the other whether that was an appropriate step or not. That was something that ultimately the managers recommended and the board approved. But once you take that step, you have to try to get it right.
Bill,
right? That's the reason you have video replay, and we have the rule. The it's a black and white rule, and you're either offsides or you're not.
Except that skate being over the line in the air has never been called unless it was flukily called offside, and now it's become the state of the art. I mean, come on. That's what I'm talking about.
And what I'd say to that is it's certainly supposed to have been called. And if
exactly.
you ask the linesman, they would say they call it that way. It's just not that they wouldn't have seen it all the time.
Yeah.
The video replay makes it easier to see.
No.
Tell you what.
So you're not giving me that.
Yeah.
Satisfaction.
How about Bill, that Doug can call you off air about that, and also to use the preferred rate in the line of credit sometime. So I'll leave it at that.
I know one thing about it. If I use a line of credit, you like it paid back. That's
okay.
The key. You like it paid back.
Bill, thanks very much. Appreciate
thanks,
it as
Bill.
Always.
All right, guys.
Congrats
That'll
on a great
day.
Playoff.
Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner of the National Hockey League. Quick note, by the way, the scouting combine, that's where our guys are, Darren Millard, Jeff Merrick.
Is Kiprios there too?
I think he's being tested, yeah.
Oh.
Nick's tested every
week.
How
many pull-ups is
Sportsnet?
He and Shanny are doing a pull-up competition.
So by the way, it's going to be testing live on sportsnet.ca and the Sportsnet app. And 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, Austin Matthews gets tested tomorrow. This stuff, the NFL, is the combine runs all the time. You see all the time. So I know you're saying, who wants to watch a combine? But there's an appetite.
I don't.
I know, but there's an appetite and a market
out
there.
It's going to be on Sportsnet or online?
Sportsnet.ca.
Oh, great.
And also the Sportsnet app.
I may watch it then.
Well, you're home alone in Florida.
Yeah.
Nobody
chirping at you.
Yeah.
You can really enjoy it.
Okay, boys, don't get me in trouble.
Anyway, quick thing. So, of course, we'll follow on that. The NHL Network will have NHL Tonight Scouting Combine Special premiering at 8 p.m. on June the 10th. You took your you're going a minute early. You're that keen to head out?
No, I knew the producer wasn't going to be talking. We don't have any more guests.
Sharks going to come back?
Yeah, I think the Sharks are going to make it a series. I do.
You think it's be 2-2 after four home series?
There's a chance. Pretty good chance it could be, yeah.
Well, we know that.
It better be 2-1 after three.
Yeah.
Yeah,
otherwise, then it gets a
good
little
point.
Bit ugly that way. A little bit ugly that way.
Should have left my head earpiece in, I guess.
And, all good with Bill Daly. Want to thank
Bill
Daly.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure.
It was great to have you.
Coming in and chatting. Bill Daly, thanks to the deputy commissioner for joining us. He would not give us any more info whether Las Vegas is in or out.
He really enjoyed being on with us, Bill.
Yeah, I think so. It could be his last visit, but that's good. We made it a good one. Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Gord Stellick, as I said, in for Jeff Merrick and Darren Millard. This has been Hockey Central. listening on Sportsnet, the Fan 590, watching on Sportsnet and on the NHL Network in the United States. Enjoy the hockey coming up Saturday.